The Last Word on Today FM with Matt Cooper.
Now, the book Champagne Football is in the shops later in the week. I've been lucky enough to get a copy of it from Mark Ty and Paul Rowan, and it is a cracking read on John Delaney and the betrayal of Irish football, the inside story. I'm delighted both of the lads are with me now. And Mark is here in studio. Paul is on the phone. It strikes me, we may have to be somewhat careful here, Mark, because you've had enormous experience about it. I've had some experience as well, as have many other broadcasters and journalists, of a litigious John Delaney trying to stifle comment and the publication and broadcast of fact with legal threats. And he has been something of a legal bully over the years. And I think he's actually taken quite a bit of money, hasn't he, as well?
Huge amount. And, you know, part of the information that we reveal in this book is that the FAI were paying for his legal fees when he was pursuing a lot of the media for defamation actions. And John Delaney was pocketing the settlements that were made, and the FAI picked up the tab, and there was no reimbursement for the FAI.
And he made how much in legal settlements over the years? You have a figure in the book, don't you?
Yeah, well, just over the Rio settlements. You might remember back in 2016 when Pat Hickey and John Delaney was the vice president of the Olympic Council of Ireland, as it was then. The whole thing, Pat Hickey obviously was arrested over in Rio and naked and had to get his bathrobe and so on. And the police made these statements about looking to interview John Delaney, and there's a lot of articles written about him. John Delaney went mad about that. He lodged defamation proceedings against a lot of organisations, you know, and we see some of the inside information that he knew he had weak cases against some of them, but was maintaining it just to ensure they wouldn't write about him anymore. But yeah, he got at least €264,000 in settlements from about I think half a dozen media organisations around Ireland.
It strikes me, I would describe him, having read the book and the way he ran the organisation and his interactions with the media and his public statements, he's a bit like a pawn shop Donald Trump in many respects, in the way that he carries himself on.
Actually, that was something Kevin O'Keefe, the Cork TD, when John Delaney was up for the Oireachtas Committee, and I think Delaney might have taken it as a compliment. You know, he called him the Trump of the FAI because of the way that the media had it in for him, according to Kevin O'Keefe, and the way that John Delaney was very popular with the grassroots. That was the analogy that Kevin O'Keefe made. But yeah, talking about legal actions, like this whole thing kicked off for me on March 1st last year when I got a tip off about this, you know, now quite infamous transaction of €100,000 where John Delaney had paid money into the FAI.
Because the FAI was been so financially mismanaged, despite the fact that it was an organisation with a 50 million turnover, it was in danger of breaching its financial covenants with its lenders.
Repeatedly, and as we reveal in the book, you know, it was living through credit card payments often, you know, to keep some of the creditors at bay. But when we went to print that story in St. Patrick's Day last year, John Delaney took a High Court injunction against us.
Attempted to, because he failed spectacularly.
Application, yeah. And at very last minute, last gasp thing, where we had to race down to the forecourts at 6 p.m. On a Saturday. And thankfully, you know, the judge ruled in our favour, saying there was significant public interest, and we just managed to get the paper, get the story into the paper, and all hell broke loose. And I suppose it was kind of like an avalanche effect or a snowball effect. It just got bigger and bigger, and the sources reached out to me, and sources started taking phone calls that wouldn't have taken phone calls previously because of the fear that John Delaney would have.
And the financial mismanagement that you were able to reveal was absolutely staggering over a number of weeks in the Sunday Times, a number of months, and then in the book, but particularly things like his credit card activities, the fact that the FAI was paying for his rent for over a decade of very, very expensive houses on top of a salary of €360,000.
Yeah, and within 7 days last year of the €100,000 story, we were able to get that rent story out there. And it was amazing that not even board members who'd been on the FAI board for 14 or 15 years weren't aware that the FAI continued to pay John Delaney's rent of up to €36,000 or €39,000 a year right up to the end of 2016. So that caused consternation among both the board and football supporters and football, the FAI staff, who had taken huge pay cuts to find out, you know, that all this money is being paid out through its CEO.
Credit card expenditures for all sorts of personal stuff. His 50th birthday party in Mount Juliet, which a good chunk of which ended up being paid for by the FAI.
Well, the whole amount was paid, some €80,000 was paid for the FAI. John Delaney reimbursed €50,000, so leaving a over €30,000 shortfall. Franck, the well-known wedding organiser, was the point man, and there was a kind of a gaudy Walter PPK ice sculpture was the centrepiece for a drinks reception, you know, where the great and good of Irish football and John Delaney's family and some sponsors were invited to that event in Mount Juliet in October 2017.
And I will get your colleague Paul Rowan in a second, but just to stick with the money as well. Mm. Also a secret deal which he did in 2014, which wasn't approved by the board, which effectively gave him a massive bonus at the completion of his contract in 2020.
Yeah, this is something that emerged in the Irish Sun last year in the middle of the crisis, I suppose, that the FAI were plunged into. That two people only in the FAI, the Honorary Treasurer and the Honorary Secretary, knew about this secret deal where John Delaney would get €3 million for completing a seven-year contract running from 2014 to the end of 2020. And this is something that wasn't even declared to Deloitte, the long-time auditors of the FAI. And so this is a liability the FAI had, but it wasn't on the accounts, which is completely improper for any company to have that kind of carry on with the chief executive.
Okay, I'll come back to you about the money in a moment, but I want to bring Paul Rowan in as well. Paul, congratulations on the book. I describe him as a pawn shop Donald Trump, because he does manage to have a significant fan base, or at least he did. And he had managed, by doling out largesse to clubs around the country, to get quite a significant substantial support. Tell us a little bit about how he established his power base within the FAI.
Yeah, I was just reading the Vanity Fair there. Part of Trump's popularity is that he's seen as a bit of an entertainer. And Delaney, I suppose, John Delaney, a bit of an entertainer as well. He became a kind of a celebrity, certainly on the chicken and chips FAI circuit. Around the country, he'd be the sort of guest of honor, and he lapped it up. Sometimes accompanied by his very glamorous girlfriend Emma English for a few years there, and generally he came armed with tickets for matches sometimes, and sometimes he'd be the bidder. He'd always bid in the auctions that they'd have at these events, and. So he became a kind of a celebrity and a personality, and also he'd write checks, giving grants to the clubs and everything else. So he had a number of arrows to his bow, shall we say. He was seen as a bit of a celebrity, a bit of a glamour figure in some ways, and also he was seen as the man with his hands on the purse strings. So he was the man with his hands on the purse strings. So clubs could always see the advantage of staying on the good side of John Delaney, because if they got on his bad side, that wasn't a good place to be.
And then trying to sucking up to the fans. Again, this was all done in the public eye, but it's remarkable when you read about it again in Champagne Football. The stuff that went on in the Euro 2012 qualifiers, and then when they got to Poland, buying loads of drink for the supporters, been carried shoulder high without his shoes on one occasion.
Yeah, that was in the infamous Sopot, the town of Sopot, a perfectly nice place, except it turned into a bit of a party place when the Irish fans were there. Yeah, and I think having sort of conquered the grassroots, shall we say, within the FAI, John Delaney wants to be loved by the Ireland supporters. You know, all those kind of thousands of supporters who travel around the world, are particularly to tournaments. They hadn't liked Delaney for a number of years. There'd been a lot of chanting against Delaney early on in Delaney's time as CEO over issues about tickets and the like. And then he took it upon himself to try to win them over, as you say, by waving the checkbook around in the pubs this time, really, buying rounds of drink for everybody. And then there was the occasion, wasn't there, in Moscow when Trapattoni's team had a goalless draw that Delaney sprinted across the pitch and threw the green tie into the
reminded me of Charlie Haughey at the 1990 World Cup, and the chicken rubber chicken circuit dinner is exactly the Haughey playbook as well in politics in that era, as if Delaney was sort of a 21st century political equivalent or sporting equivalent of that political animal.
Well, it's kind of funny in a way, while there's so much reform has happened around the world in politics, etc. football, it's one of the last bastions of kind of old style, parish pump politics in a way. You know, you look at FIFA, you look at what's happened there. In many ways, the FAI was like a mini FIFA. And Delaney, even though he famously fell out with Sepp Blatter and criticised Sepp Blatter for ogling his girlfriend at one stage. In many ways, Delaney was a bit of a Blatter figure himself, and is a bit of a Blatter figure. So
hiding in plain sight. But that brings up as well, I mean, there were also the issues of the singing of IRA songs and his attempt then to stop the media reporting on a video which showed him doing that. But I'm really taken as well, Paul, did you ever get to the bottom of this? How did he manage to persuade the Gardaí as well as security employees to wade into the crowd confiscating banners that were critical of him?
Did we get to the bottom of that? He seems to have very close ties with the Gardaí for reasons which perhaps, you know, we're not quite, I think he probably looked after the Gardaí in a lot of ways as well. I had an incident myself when I doorstepped an FAI board meeting up at Abbottstown. It was when they were going to sack Trapattoni. Delaney wanted Trapattoni sacked after the 6-1 defeat to Germany post 2012. You remember the game at the Aviva Stadium. I went up there with another journalist, and we went in to basically to talk to Delaney about what had happened. He was very crestfallen because he hadn't achieved his wish to get Trapattoni sacked to the stage. Next minute, I was ejected from Abbottstown and went outside onto the public street where a BMW from Blanchardstown Garda Station pulled up and questioned me. And not only that, I was then rang by a detective from the same Garda station the following day who kind of questioned me about what I'd been up to. So very heavy-handed tactics indeed.
Okay, but we're not alleging anything wrong on the part of the Gardaí as well, and maybe they felt that they were doing their job in relation to matches at Lansdowne Road in relation to banners. We won't go in any more into that. But I want to go back to you.
Well, you did ask me, but
I did.
That.
Mark Tye, yes. I want to go back to you on this and the money, because a lot of people want to know. I mean, he got a deal, and now then there was a sort of a rollback on the deal, particularly in relation to controversy involving not the famous Emma English, but another woman called Susan Keegan. Tell us a bit about this, please.
Yeah, so Susan Keegan she worked in childcare. She was John Delaney's girlfriend in around 2011, 2012, 2013. We discovered last year that there was FAI payments of €60,000 made in the name of Susan Keegan on the FAI accounts. When the FAI got our questions, you know, they put this to John Delaney, denied it, no way, didn't happen. And they went in the next day, Donal Conway, the FAI president, and Alex O'Connell, the financial director, and searched the SAGE counting system they have in up in Abbottstown, and there you go, there's €60,000, and there's another €35,000 in payments to Susan Keegan. So not only the money we knew about, but another €35,000. So it was quite clear. The FAI knew from April last year that there was €95,000 paid in the name of Susan Keegan. Now, when they did more investigation into it, they saw that John Delaney had authorised these payments. He'd sent a directive to the finance department saying that certain directors had signed off on it when there was any questions about it. There was some talk about that Susan Keegan had being an agent for two Ireland-England friendlies that happened in around that time, one Wembley and one in the Aviva. But, you know, Susan Keegan had no role in being an agent, and the FAI is unable to say what that money was actually paid for.
We mentioned at the outset, just to finish, I mean, the litigious nature of John Delaney. Did he in any way answer questions for the book? Has he issued any threats in relation to the book?
No. And that's been one of the things. Like, since the injunction story last year, John Delaney has really adopted the ostrich approach. You know, thankfully we had no problems, legal issues with the book. And in fact, when we approached his solicitor, he said, "Don't ask us any questions. We'll not be answering anything."
Where is he now?
John Delaney is now based in London. He set up a management consultancy company. I understand he's got his fingers in a few different business ventures over there. And, you know, he's cooperating with the Office of Direct Corporate Enforcement and Gardaí investigation that's ongoing into the FAI's finances.
We've only covered a fraction of the stories covered in this cracking book, Champagne Football. Mark Tye and Paul Rowan, thank you very much for joining us here on The Last Word on Today FM.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Listen live, on air, from 4:30 weekdays on Today FM.